The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio. And now, Carl and Linda Bott. This is Free Fire Radio.
Good morning. Welcome to Free Fire Radio. You're in the studios of KCNR 1460 with Carl Bott and Trish Clark. It's Thursday. Good morning, Trish.
Good morning.
5.5 minutes after the hour, 7 o'clock here on November the 1st. Wow. November the 1st. You're probably still wondering why I'm wearing my Halloween mask.
Yeah, I am.
It was a tough night. The news is brought to you by Tobacco and Brew, 2143 Hilltop Drive, open 7 days a week. Enhanced walk-in humidor, still great customer service, super people down there. Good morning, everybody. Oh, my gosh, last night, the little pumpkins.
Well, they were out in droves. I had more trick-or-treaters last night than I've had in the last 15 years.
Yeah, the last three.
And great costumes.
The last three had beards. I'm not sure. I think they're getting a little bit older.
No, mine were all little people, and they were so cute in their costumes, and lots of parents out there, and the weather was marvelous, and I went completely through all of the candy. I had to just, I mean, the last couple, it was like, oh, boy, no more can come.
Well, you know, what you do then is then you have, you know, what my neighborhood's like is they come over with shot glasses.
Well, I was just saying, that's got to be the next step.
Give them a little shot, keep them going. Like, of course, they may be the older kids.
Yeah, well, that was a lot of fun, though. I mean, I enjoyed it. It reminded me of the years before when it was okay to do that and everybody was safe and it felt safe.
You know, when I was like 6 years old and I was going, I had my pillowcase because you wanted a pillowcase, right?
Oh, for sure.
Some bigger kids stole them from my friend and I. And we went home. We were all upset. And my mom gave me another pillowcase. And my dad came out and just to make sure we were okay. And we went back and, you know, filled them up again. But I remember that. Bigger kids taking our candy because they were embarrassed to go up and get their own candy. So, you know, the other thing, too, is that the Reading Police Department arrested three sex offenders last night who had, you know, that were out there. One of them had a costume on, was trick-or-treating with the kids.
Oh, wow. Well, okay.
Thank you, Reading Police Department. Bless you guys.
64 degrees in downtown Reading. We're looking for a high today of 83 and a low of 55. Sunny on Friday, high of 82 and a low of 53. Continuing with that sunny, not getting partly cloudy until Saturday night. A high of 83 on Saturday, a low of 55. And on Sunday, we're back to sunny and a high of 80 and a low of 52. Mostly sunny on Monday and a 78-degree high and a low of 55. I'm not looking for any rain anytime soon. And you know, that's a mixed bag. We need some rain. I hope it comes in slow little bits so that it doesn't come all at once.
In the evenings, a light, gentle rain for a week.
Would be wonderful, but we don't want too much because then we're going to have all kinds of issues with the burn area.
We want to have enough rain every day that it's, you know, it wets everything down and then it soaks and wastes a day.
Yeah.
Then we have it. So, God, you've heard us.
There you go. We've put in our order. The weather is always brought to us by Shasta Gas Propane. Our customers are warm friends. They're locally owned and operated. They give veterans and senior discounts. Give them a call at 365-3793.
Anything I can do to make your morning better. You know, our coffee machine broke down, so Ashley ran out and got us coffee.
Oh, and Ashley's in trouble because I don't have a cup
well,
in front
she
of me.
Told me when Trish comes in, just text me. But I was, I'm
you
sorry.
Didn't do
I
that.
Did. I didn't because I was busy this morning and you all were talking to me. Hey, we are very pleased to have with us two of the senior members of the Highway Patrol, California Highway Patrol. We have Chief of the whole Northern Division, Scott Gillingwater, and Assistant Chief of the Western Division, West Side, which is part of the Northern Division, but the West Side, west of the I-5, Assistant Chief Greg Bartz. So we get
good morning.
Trish, pull his microphone down there. Are not magic microphones. You have to kind of like have be in them. It's kind of like when you're firing your pistol.
It's got
to be in that general area right there.
Gotcha.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Gosh, thanks for being with us. It's been a while. So many things going on. Can you give us kind of like a update on how the Northern Division is?
Well, before I do that, I'd just like to take a moment and thank man, there were so many people during the fires that came up. There were times when my meal was paid for, my officer's meals were paid for. We didn't even know who it was. People were so generous. We've received so much support. This is just a great community. And I just want to take a moment and thank everyone because it was a tremendous outpouring of support. So I really appreciate it.
Well, you know, Scott, that's cool. But you know what? And here it is. It's been about a couple months. And you all were discussing this earlier for different reasons. The fire's coming this way. Everybody's trying to get away from it. And here come, you know, there go the first responders, CHP, the police, the fire engines, everybody running the opposite direction to fight this, to take care of people, get people out of their homes or out of their neighborhoods, off, you know, get the roads clear, which was not easy around here. And it was so much appreciated. And it will be a long time. You know, probably at least another 2 weeks. And then, I'm being a little sarcastic there because you know what I mean. But I think people realize then when you start talking about first responders, just if we didn't have our law enforcement and our firemen and fire people and firefighters and all that, where we would be, you know, this would be total anarchy. And it's, you know, it's chaotic most of the time anyway, but total anarchy. So our thoughts and our prayers all go out to you all because you are putting your lives on the line every day.
Thank you. And just to kind of finalize that up, that we still are available for those that if they had vehicles that were burnt out and that and they need to be able to get the paperwork done to be able to turn in a DMV, we're still handling those requests and be more than happy to respond out and deal with that. It's can be very problematic when there's not a lot of metal left, but we'll be able to take care of it and get it cleared through DMV.
Okay, that's good to know because I think there's still a lot of people that are this happened, but there's a lot of stuff to deal with, and some of that stuff is still there, especially on properties where the outer a little bit and there were a lot of vehicles. That's good to know that they can call you and you'll handle that.
We'll do it.
Well, I tell you what we're going to do. Let's just take a little bit of an early break, and then we can start up and we start talking about the Northern Division, and then we also want to discuss the there's some laws that are being that have been passed that are having that can have a severe impact on the law enforcement agencies in our state, but then there's another one that was coming up and was defeated or just never got off the ground, but it's already been reintroduced. And this is the one that we really – everybody needs to know about this one, too, is we think that things aren't bad enough. But our Democratic legislature – and I'm not involving you in it because if they were Republican, I'd say they were a Republican legislature. But it's not. It's a Democrat legislature are, again, trying to do things that are just horrible.
They make it very difficult. We've gone to such a criminal right – mental thinking process that we've forgotten about the victims and we've forgotten about the people who have to enforce our laws. Everything's centered around the criminals' rights and that we don't get anywhere near stepping on them in such a politically correct environment that it's going to make it real difficult for any of us to survive.
And speaking of rights, we have the right for a good night's sleep. And a good night's sleep comes with Sleep Number.
Yes,
did you like that segue?
Was that I cool? Liked that, like that really well.
Okay. Anyway, our friends over at Sleep Number are they provide the best beds, in my opinion, of any of them. And the reason that I say this is that the ability to pick your own firmness, to choose your own firmness of your mattress is so huge because as your day goes by and weeks go by, things change. Well, you can also at that same time change the firmness of your mattress. Been working out real hard or something's happening. Sometimes you're just sick. You don't feel well. But but not only can you have that option, your partner has that option.
If you go out,
two separate firmnesses in a bed.
That's it. If you go out and purchase a mattress based on I like a firm bed or I like a soft bed. First off, it doesn't match both sides of the view. And then the other thing is that you can't change it after you've purchased it. My sleep number is 55, but I can change that at any given time to go to another one.
You know, the sleep number also appreciates the fact that a good night's sleep is also for, you know, our military and our veterans. And during the Veterans Day sale, you can save $400 on a Queen Sleep Number 360 C4 smart bed. Now only $1,299. Plus, there's an exclusive savings reserved for military and veterans. And we appreciate that for Sleep Number. It's also the official sleep and wellness partner of the NFL. You can only find Sleep Number at the Sleep Number store in the Target Shopping Center. Head on down, tell them that Carl, Trish, and Linda sent you. Which
we'll
make
them
try to figure that one out. Sleep Number. If you want a good night's sleep, and what a great, great, great present for Christmas. Good night's sleep for the rest of the year, the next year, the year after that. We'll be right back with Chief Scott Gillingwater and Assistant Chief Greg Bartz.
I am 23 years old and I grew up in Reading. For many, Reading is where you took your first steps, had your first kiss, drove your first car, earned your first paycheck. Reading has had many firsts. This summer, Reading experienced one of the largest wildfires in California history. Many homes were destroyed. Now, Reading will make its first epic comeback.
We went through the Great Recession. We are challenged daily by crime and numerous social issues, and then the car fire happened. Hi, I'm Joe Comenti, your candidate for Shasta County Board of Supervisors. As 38,000 people were fleeing the fire, first responders performed at near superhuman levels, never giving in and never backing down. Our community immediately rallied. Businesses, churches, not-for-profits, family, friends, and neighbors offered food, shelter, and emotional support. Today we are coming back stronger and more determined. We are rebuilding. My name is Joe Comenti, and I'm asking you to elect me to the Shasta County Board of Supervisors in District 1. It's time for leadership for Shasta County.
Paid for by the committee to elect Joe Comenti.
That doesn't happen to men.
It's not just a woman's issue.
It only happened once.
I will intervene.
But he's such a nice guy.
We will look out for each other.
What did she think would happen?
I will step in.
It's just the way people are.
It's on us to change the future for our children.
We will change the culture.
Get involved. One safe place. OSPShasta.org/change the culture.
Hi, I'm Dr. Kara Tennant with CARE Animal Hospital, and I'm inviting you to join me on the Carl and Linda Morning Show. We will be discussing all of Reading's local pet needs and how to keep your pet happy, healthy, and safe. CARE Animal Hospital is a local veterinary clinic located on the corner of Hilltop Drive and Lake Boulevard. Make sure your best friend has the best possible care today.
Join Dr. Kara Tennant the third Friday of each month in the 8 a.m. hour here on locally owned KCNR.
Some things in life you can just rely on, like the perfect fit of your favorite pair of jeans, the nap-inducing powers of your trusty recliner, and the tried-and-true performance of a new Rood home heating system. So here's to reliability built into everything we do. Rely on Rood.
Get reliable comfort when the weather turns cold with a new heating system installed by the local pros at Alliance Heating and Air. Call Alliance today, 530-221-2642. At Alliance Heating and Air, everybody calls us.
Shasta Regional Medical Center Foundation's annual Turkey Trot is coming. Trot on down to Shasta Regional Medical Center to register, or visit ShastaRegional.com and register online. There's the Diesel Horse Dash for the Little Gobblers, the 2-mile walk fun run for the entire family, and this year's timed race will be a rerouted 4.49 miles due to the trail damage from the car fire. Register by November 16th. Join the largest community run and walk Thanksgiving morning, the Shasta Regional Medical Center Foundation Turkey Trot. A portion of this year's event will benefit Sacramento River Trail fire restoration projects.
The 17th Annual Power to Seniors Celebrity Soup Kitchen, sponsored by the Older Adult Policy Council, will take place Wednesday, November 7th from 4 p.m. to 7 p.m. The event will be held at a new location, the Reading Senior Citizens Hall at 2290 Benton Drive. Enjoy an evening of gourmet soups, music, and raffle prizes. Proceeds go to older adults who are unable to pay their power bills. Tickets are available at the door, $12 for adults and $6 for children ages 3 to 12. For more information, call 232-5543.
Free Fire Radio. It's a target-rich environment.
Mm-hmm.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio. In the studios of KCNR 1460, 20 minutes after the hour of 7 o'clock here on the 1st of November of 2018, 64 degrees, going up to 83 today with a report brought to you by Shasta Gas Propane. This portion of the show brought to you by Bastiani Arms, 2539 Larkspur. I was just in there yesterday getting some work done on one of my California-compliant rifles. And if you're looking for any type of firearm, they have it. Rifles, shotguns, accessories, any type of accessory that you want to stick on there or buy, holsters, ammo, and extremely, extremely good gunsmithing going on there at Bastiani Arms. Super customer service. Give them a call, 222-8222, or stop by 2539 Larkspur, right here in Reading, open Tuesday through Saturday. And I'm here with Trish Clark, and we are here with the Chief of the Northern Division of the California Highway Patrol, Chief Scott Gillingwater, and Assistant Chief Greg Bartz. So good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Okay, now we can get into this now. There are some I'm going to switch around a bit, but because there are some things coming through on the legal side the state has done. Passed some laws. New legislation that has an impact on our law enforcement. Can we start talking about that?
Well, we can. There's the first bill goes into effect January 1st, and it's Senate Bill 1421 that was passed. And what that does is it makes peace officer records, their personnel files, the investigations, public record when they involve certain types of incidents. And that's going to have a dramatic effect because a lot of times people allege things and it's proven not true, but that information is protected for the integrity of those people because we do get complaints and that a lot. And so that's going to be made public record. And so that's
no longer protected.
Yeah.
That's okay. So if somebody says, you know what, Scott Gillingwater, when he pulled me over, was rude and called me names and treated me terribly. And
had alcohol on his breath or whatever.
And then, so you all have to research that, of course.
Correct.
But if you find that there's nothing there, no, you know what, he wasn't even on duty, that blah, blah, blah. Is that now open?
Well, it's in that particular case, it wouldn't be. It would be any time they allege that we weren't truthful. Any times that there's any kind of a sexual allegation, if there's an incident that involves great bodily harm from use of force.
Okay,
or
well,
death.
Let's say this.
So there's some parameters on it.
He pulled me over and he said he wouldn't give me a ticket if I did this.
Correct.
Well, I mean, and so, you know, so it's investigating. They find out that, you know, absolutely not. In fact, there was another officer standing outside and all this. Is that open to the public?
Correct, because it involves any type of sexual conduct.
See, that is, you know, now, does that happen to a civilian? I don't think it does.
No. Now, the thing that we try and let the legislators know on this is that we investigate all those, and if it's true, the person's usually fired, so we weed that out. And so what's left is those ones that aren't truthful and that are not founded.
The reality is when they make it so onerous for you to complete the day to complete your job, we're going to get to we need to probably talk about the recruitment efforts that we have already issues with. And if they keep laying another layer of you having the ability to do your job, we're going to have a difficult time filling the ranks of our police officers from Highway Patrol all the way down.
Most definitely. We have a recruiter here in Northern Division, and he has to really dig deep to find out new innovative ways to attract people to this profession. I mean, this job is getting a lot more difficult to do. I started 28 years ago, and it was much, much different back then. There's just so much regulation that's placed upon us and so many parameters that are placed upon us at reporting requirements. It's very difficult to be proactive anymore.
Well, now let's take this back though. This thing, it's like any other law that they put out. Oh, we have to work through this, but this could be retroactive for 10 years.
It could be. We're still waiting to find out how far back that they can go. So,
Okay, now see, to me, this is where the impact would be. You have a lot of legacy, highway patrolmen, don't you? You know, father, son, father, daughter, and this. I can see where that could become, you know, the father goes, you know, I'm not sure that you want to come in, but, you know, under these conditions.
I mean, I'm there. I have a son that's of age to join the highway patrol, and I don't really want him to get into the law enforcement career just because of the way that it is now.
Well, Betsy, that's a perfect example of it. And we have somebody here, it's an assistant chief, 28 years in, told her son, you know, you might want to be looking for something else because this is not going to get any better because we're going to talk about other things. What, and see, that's one of them. What's the other one? I mean, and there's three of them because I'm going to bring a third one up.
Yeah, the second one, which goes into effect July 1st, is Senate Bill 748, which has to do with video. Body cameras, video from the patrol vehicle in dash and that. And so those incidents are going to be released. It's going to be mandated. They're going to be released. And you know, a couple of things that really come out of that is that there's so much stuff that has to be redacted on that. And we're full-time. We're having to hire people to try and redact information for all the requests that comes in. So it's going to be a real burden on law enforcement up and down the state, especially the smaller agencies that don't have people to do that. But all of a sudden, everything that they have is going to be subject to the Public Records Act.
So the laws that we're talking about, this new legislation, impact all police officers.
Yeah, it's not just the highway patrol. No,
we're
it's
talking
everybody.
Right down to the smallest little department.
Yeah. Well, when you're talking about now, if you have body cameras, which you all are required to have here soon, aren't you?
We just have two area offices that are testing them
right now. Okay, testing them now. But your dash cams. So what this says is they've got to release all the dash cam, but you have to redact it for what reason?
Well, you can't have personal information, license plates.
Okay, so
you can't have personal information about the victim or about the criminal or the person.
Yeah. So you've got to blur out their faces in their in the license plate. At a minimum, do that.
Yes. And you know, just know this from a law enforcement perspective, from the highway patrol perspective, we love the cameras. It's cut our complaints, allegations, at least in half. And so they've been great for us. It shows what we do. It's just sometimes there's you're doing an investigation and you need to be able to hold that so that the person can get a fair trial. And you know, you just don't want to try it in the media. So there's reasons why you want to
already,
hold it.
Which happens already. Now, and this is for everybody. Joe says in here, he says, wow, that's how they feel. Think about us regular Joes out here that don't know the law and what's happening. We don't know what we're doing right or wrong, which is, I guess, kind of what they want out there. Okay, so we've got that one. Now, the one that I'm not going to bring in the big one until after the break, but the next one I know you're doing here is the RIPA or the one, what's the one where you have to fill out 86 pages of paperwork?
Oh, everybody you contact, paperwork that you have to fill out.
What is that?
Racial and Identity Profiling Act?
Yes. And what's that? It's got a name on it. It's got an acronym or something there.
It's RIPA. It was a statute that was passed, and there's a RIPA board that's...
And it started, right?
Yeah, it's already begun.
Okay, now, this RIPA board was something like 17 people, from the way I understand it, only which three of them were law enforcement or, you know, associated, that all voted against this, but they were voted down. This RIPA, can you explain what RIPA is so people will understand why it's... Why we will lose approximately 7 man hours out of the Reading Police Department this year when they kick it in?
Right, we're actually collecting the data right now because it starts out with the larger agencies in the state,
right,
and then it whittles down to the smaller agencies. What it is when we make any type of enforcement action or stop or to talk to anybody, we have to identify their age, their gender, their racial identity, and the reason for the stop, whether or not we search the person, and it takes up a lot of our time, and it's perceived
you're
by the officer.
Nice. Yeah, you're being nice because you can't ask them these questions either.
Right, it's what the officer perceives them to be, so we can't ask the person.
You can't ask their sexual orientation.
No.
You can't ask their age. You can't ask their race. So you just have to put this down.
You're estimating.
You're estimating every one of these. And then it's got a number of other questions that you have to ask too, right? Or other things you have to fill out.
And you have to write a narrative on what you do.
250-word narrative.
Right, the probable cause for the contact or reasonable suspicion for the contact or stop.
Yeah. And you know what? He was robbing the bank. That's pretty simple. But
that'd be an easy one.
If you pull somebody over just on a traffic stop, and then, see, they're going to look at these statistics to see if certain groups of people have been pulled over. Well, what happens if you're on a freeway going through different areas of the town? I mean, this whole thing is, it's going to take, because how long does it take to fill one of these out?
I think on average, we have a software system or computer system that we use. So it takes anywhere between 3 to 7 minutes for an officer to fill it out. Depends on the stop.
What you got to think about is that we make over 4 million stops, and how many hours that translates to that they're not available to respond to stuff because
what
of
about,
that. So.
And then, yeah, what about the your patrol officers on the motorcycles? They don't have that computer. They've got to stop someplace else with their little iPad, right?
Yeah, they have an iPad, and they input the information, and then they have to download it when they get to the office.
And finish the narrative.
You know what? I have seen this because I am fortunate enough, honored to be on the California Highway Patrol Citizens Advisory Board, and they gave us this, you know, these 5 pages of stuff you've got to go through. I mean, it's unbelievable.
The questionnaire is 5 pages long.
Well, I don't know if it's exactly that, but
there's 16 categories we have to respond to.
16 categories, and you can't ask. So imagine in today's time, sexual, gender.
How many choices?
There are. There's something like
I know.
There's
I know.
Five
That's
choices.
Why I
there's
have.
Got to be at least 5 choices, including, I don't know if there's one that says, I just can't tell. That's not on there. That's not on there. Okay. So, but what I'm getting at here is, it's not enough when you pull them over and you say, okay, I pull them over for this, and let it go in like 5 questions. But when you have to get into it where you literally are having to write all the stuff behind it. Now, if you pull somebody over for, say, a speeding violation, there's 4 or 5 people in the car. If somebody else starts talking to you, so now you have to interact with them and tell them, look, you know, this isn't any of your business. Now, do you have to write on that person too?
Yes.
So, so that 3 to 7 could become 14.
It's quite possible.
All right. I just think that people need to know this, you know, and that I may have to write this up on Facebook and hit this out there, and because this is happening. It hasn't hit Reading yet, but it will.
It's going to hit all the law enforcement agencies, is there a time limit on when that's going to become effective?
It depends on the number of officers that are with the agency, I think. An agency the size of Reading Police Department and the Shasta County Sheriff's Office, they'd probably be just kicking this thing off in 2020 or 2021, I believe.
Yeah, but it will happen. And Paletti, when he was here, when he was saying this will cost us some, you know, equivalent on 2 or 3 man years, you know, of a cop being on the street because he's writing these reports. And I'm not even talking about storage and all these
other
things.
Well, it seems to me that we're making more hesitant.
That's a good point.
To pull.
Well, maybe that's the idea.
Is this really a stop I want to make?
Is it worth pulling somebody over for a busted taillight right now?
Probably not. From an officer's perspective, I could see them not wanting to make more work for themselves.
Well, you know, a busted taillight or somebody speeding down the road. Anyway, okay, here we got to take a break. It's 27 minutes before the hour of 8 o'clock here on November the 1st. We're here with Northern California Chief for the Highway Patrol, Scott Gillingwater, and the Assistant Chief, Greg Bartz, discussing these laws that are coming down, just making it just a little bit harder every time to do their job. This portion of the show brought to you by Clyde's Enterprises, the original and still the best. Over 47 years in the business, locally owned and operated by Clyde Pierce. If you're looking for somebody that knows what he's doing in Dish Network, satellite business, authorized dealer for Sony, Samsung, LG, and Klipsch speakers, then it's Clyde. 1250 Hartnell Avenue, or give him a call, 221-4144. Clyde's Enterprises, the original and still the best. Ta-da.
My name is Sam. I am 19 and was born and raised in Reading. It looks like criminals are taking over our city. There's so many parks in Reading that I played in when I was a kid. It seems now that they're covered with trash and filled with sketchy-looking people. It's sad, but I won't go near those parks. Why can't we do something about this? I hear stories of people walking into stores, taking whatever they want, and walking out without paying, and nothing happens to them. Cars get stolen by the same bad guys, and still, nothing happens to them. Then I learned that the state gave Shasta County $20 million to build an adult rehabilitation center. This was supposed to help convicted criminals learn new skills so they might find a better life. Seems like a step in the right direction, but the county gave the money back. Why?
My name is Joe Comenti, and I'm asking you to elect me to the Shasta County Board of Supervisors. Law enforcement is aggressively trying to protect us, but it's time for new leadership at the Board of Supervisors. It's time for action.
Paid for by the committee to elect Joe Comenti.
Founded in 1995, GI Pathology is the only physician-owned laboratory in the United States dedicated solely to the practice of gastrointestinal and liver pathology. The company provides the highest quality GI pathology diagnosis made exclusively by one of our fellowship-trained gastrointestinal and liver pathologists. GI Pathology delivers results to its Northern California client base within an industry-leading 24 hours. Call 888-2-GI-PATH or go to www.gipath.com for more information.
Hi, I'm Holly from Holly Bail Bonds. We've been locally owned and serving our community since 1992. Governor Brown signed a bill to eliminate private bail. SB 10 needs to be stopped. It drew strong opposition from a wide range of groups, including crime victims, law enforcement, civil rights advocates, and public safety leaders. To help protect our community from SB 10, come down to Holly Bail Bonds. We're located at 1737 Plaster Street. Sign our petition to stop the threat to honest citizens and put SB 10 on the ballot in 2020.
The 17th Annual Power to Seniors Celebrity Soup Kitchen, sponsored by the Older Adult Policy Council, will take place Wednesday, November 7th from 4 p.m. to 7 p.m. The event will be held at a new location, the Reading Senior Citizens Hall at 2290 Benton Drive. Enjoy an evening of gourmet soups, music, and raffle prizes. Proceeds go to older adults who are unable to pay their power bills. Tickets are available at the door, $12 for adults and $6 for children ages 3 to 12. For more information, call 232-5543.
Hi, I'm Chuck Kinney, owner of Shasta Gas Propane. There's a joke around our company that our propane is better than other companies' propane. The fact is that most propane sold in the North State is manufactured in the same refineries in the Bay Area, so there's really no difference. However, there can be a big difference between propane companies. When you call Shasta Gas, you will be greeted by a friendly, knowledgeable customer service representative that will answer your questions or concerns and even give you an approximate time that your delivery will be there if you need to know. If you want, you can also talk to the owner, me. There may also be a big difference in prices between companies. Our motto at Shasta Gas is our customers are warm friends. So for safety, service, and savings, and to experience this difference, give us a call at 365-3793. That's 365-3793.
You can take us with you anytime, anywhere, live with our streaming audio feed at kcnr1460.com.
I remember when I lost my mind. There was something so pleasant about that place. Even your emotions have an echo.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio in the studios at KCNR 1460, the epicenter of change right here, 1326 Market Street. This portion of the show brought to you by Cal North Forestry. Provides a team of expert arborists at Cal North Forestry. They will provide 2 hours of free work around your home from the fire. Free. They're the ones, though, that can remove all that ladder fuel from around your house. I mean, you take a look at what causes the fires. It spreads because of the ladder fuel. They'll take care of that. They'll clean out your gutters, which is probably filled still if you haven't gotten around to it. They do great work. It's locally owned, locally operated. Tom Yeomans, give them a call at 200-8123 or look at their website, calnorthforestry.com. Locally owned, locally operated. They do great work. We're here. Trish Clark and I are here in the studios.
On Thursday morning.
Thursday morning is my Trish girl. And we're here with the chief of the Northern Division of the California Highway Patrol, Scott Gillingwater, and assistant chief for the West part of the Northern Division, that's on the west side of the I-5, Assistant Chief Greg Bartz. And we've been talking about these laws that are going to have not just impacting the Highway Patrol, But they impact on them first because they're the largest law enforcement agency, and it just starts there at the state, and it's working its way down. Now, the last one, and the worst, in my opinion, it was brought up in the last session of the Democrat-controlled Assembly and Senate, and it changed dramatically the use of deadly force, or just the use of force, I guess. Can you address that?
Well, first, it was Assembly Bill 931, and that bill was put on hold, and it's actually getting reintroduced in the next legislative session, so it's not gone away. But basically, it was introduced to hold law enforcement accountable. And right now we've had the standard that nationwide that we work under. It's a decision, Graham versus Connor, of when we can use force. And that this would change that just in California, to no longer what's reasonable based on Graham versus Connor to what's necessary by a panel of whatever that panel determines. And that's a real game changer for law enforcement.
Why is this a game changer?
Well, if you think about it, the officer comes on scene and he observes a threat, somebody maybe with a knife or something. The person's committed a crime, and he's telling them to put their hands up and stop, as required by Graham versus Connor. And the person doesn't, and so he uses force. Say that he uses his weapon and shoots the individual. That panel can determine, well, you could have used your taser.
But it used to be under reasonable.
Yes.
That they look at it as what would the reasonable law enforcement officer do in the same situation?
Correct.
Am I saying that right?
Correct.
The change of it is what, necessary? Was it necessary from, and they'd be maybe looking at this from a year to 2 years later. So, and they can come up with any type of scenario, because I guess really a police officer could just say, okay, and turn around and walk away.
And that's the fear that's going to happen on this, is that, so kind of just wrapping up that last part, was that panel determines that it wasn't necessary, that officer can go to jail. And then that those officers see that if somebody goes to jail, okay, maybe I'm just going to delay my response a little bit because I don't want to put myself in the situation where I have to use the force. That ultimately affects the citizens, their ability to be safe. And I don't know that it was looked at that way by the legislature.
Well, it also ultimately will result in a lot of loss of life of our law enforcement people.
It could.
Because if they don't act quickly enough, then they're going to be the ones that are going to be dead, and the criminal's going to be.
They're going to hesitate.
Yeah, there's two things. If you remember what happened in Baltimore when guy being transported died, and they indicted all the police officers in this, what happened? The police said, fine, I'm not going to put my life on the line because we were just doing our job. And the murder rate in Baltimore exploded, the crime rate exploded, because the police, it was, you know, they were picking and choosing. I wasn't there, so I'm just, they were picking and choosing what they wanted to get involved with. Is this worth my life? Is this worth going to jail for doing my job? And as it turns out, none of them even went to trial. All the cases were dropped. So when you have that, plus the fact of how fast you have to react, the time you have to react in a split seconds. I mean, it's literally split seconds. And the police, law enforcement, I'm not saying they're perfect. We know that. But the vast majority of the times, they are. So now, though, they're going to look at it from maybe a spot a year, two, 3 years later. And things, you know, memories change. Who knows?
Plus, you know, you have to think about this, is that it's from the officer's perspective of what he sees. You know, if you have video from an in-car camera or a citizen from the side, the officer can't always see that. And if somebody's reaching in their pocket acting like they're grabbing a weapon and it comes out a silver object, which ultimately is a phone, maybe somebody from their side could say, well, I could tell that was a phone, but the officer may not be able to tell that, and he has to react to that.
And they have a whole lot longer to study that film to determine whether it's a phone or a gun than you had as split it's coming second. Out of yeah. that split seconds are coming out of there.
Let me see. That was silver. Anybody should be able to tell after we magnify it, enhance it, and run it back and forth 56 times, and we get an expert in here that that wasn't a gun.
Well, exactly. And if you really do a close-up on it and examine it, but you don't have that opportunity.
This whole thing is second. Okay. Now that failed. That failed to go. Did that fail for?
It was pulled, and it's getting reintroduced.
But it's reintroduced again.
Soon, the legislative session hasn't started again, but it will be.
It will be. And you know, if John Cox is elected governor, that will never.
Well,
get
at least
passed.
You have a hold of the veto from here to here.
Yeah, and I don't think they'll be able to override it. But if Gavin Newsom gets in, this could be signed. And if it's signed, I would say it's signed kind of the final. That would be kind of, would we say, is that the final nail in law enforcement? Okay, I will not make you all answer that.
I
tell you what, did I just see two guys that's put their lives on the line for the last 30 years just look, their eyes just got big. So I'm just going to let that one go. We have to take a break anyway.
Could I just wrap up saying, every one of these uses of force, if it's a shooting, if there's a, you know, somebody's had great injury, the district attorney reviews every one of those. We have great district attorneys in the state. And, they take it, they prosecute the officers that are out of line. And so we already have the balance there to check it, to make sure that we don't, we aren't overstepping our bounds.
And all these incidents are thoroughly investigated objectively, by a group of people that are
qualified.
You know, right.
Yeah, nobody walks in these things. You know, people sometimes don't understand the circumstances. You know, this man was shot 15 times. I could be shot 15 times. Well, they don't understand the circumstances of two or three officers in a life or death situation and what they're trained to do and all that. But it is investigated. You know, I trust our district attorney's office to, if there's a shooting, to investigate it. And I think most people do. Anyway, okay, hey, we're going to take a quick break here. This portion of the show brought to you by River Commons Senior Living. For those that have had enough of doing yard work, doing the dishes, doing all those things, you just said, you know what, it's time to party. It's time to potty. And so you go to River Commons Senior Living, and there it is. It's like a cruise ship right here without the water. Give them a call at 238-5981. Call Captain Brian and come on down and get a lunch. You'll meet the people. You're going to have a great time. Located at 301 Hartnell Avenue, River Commons Senior Living. We'll be right back.
Or by Brian Daly for Assembly, 2018.
Since going to the state legislature in Sacramento, Brian Daly has kept his promise to the people of Northern California. Brian's focused his time and energy on creating jobs while voting against regulations and taxes. Brian has worked across party lines to save our rural hospitals, skilled nursing facilities, and biomass plants and programs that actually produce jobs for young people. Brian even hosted over 100 legislators to the North State to educate them on our rural way of life. And as a testament to Brian's integrity and work ethic, Brian was elected by his peers to be minority leader in the legislature. But there's still much to do, and problems still need solving. So let's re-elect Brian Daly to the State Assembly on November 6th.
Wind River Resort and Casino is offering a fabulous Thanksgiving buffet on Thursday, November 22nd from 11 a.m. to 9 p.m. Let Elements do the preparing and host your dinner so you can relax and enjoy your valued time with family. Our menu includes chef-carved prime rib, roasted turkey, and seasonal crab with an array of delicious trimmings and desserts. Adults, $25. River Club card. Children, $10. And children under 5 eat free. Reservations preferred. Call 1-800-280-UWIN. Download the Wind River app. Holidays are better at the river.
Your story begins here. Start yours today. Wind River Resort and Casino can make your dreams a reality. From our experienced staff, full setup and cleanup, on-site catering, full-service spa, luxurious hotel, and certified wedding and event planner. Come see what we have to offer. We guarantee you'll be amazed. Our group sales team can set up any room arrangement needed to suit your conference or meeting needs. Book your event today. Call 530-339-7454 or visit windriver.com. It's better at the
River.
Hi, this is Judy Maxwell with Maxwell Insurance and Financial. As a community, we are all recovering from the car fire. We understand the seriousness of this disaster and the frustration of dealing with the insurance companies. Insurance policies can be very difficult to understand. If you have questions about your insurance policy and need help in any way, please feel free to give us a call at 221-0441. This is Judy Maxwell with Maxwell Insurance and Financial.
Securities offered through Mutual of Omaha Investor Services Incorporated, a registered broker-dealer member FINRA and SIPC. Advisory services offered through Mutual of Omaha Investor Services Incorporated, a SEC-registered investment advisory firm. Judy Maxwell, representative. Maxwell Insurance and Financial and Mutual of Omaha Investor Services Incorporated are not affiliated. The information presented is intended for educational purposes only. It is not intended to replace the advice of an attorney or a qualified tax professional. This is not an offer or solicitation in any jurisdiction where they are not authorized to do business. Registered branch address, 1378 Hilltop Drive, Redding, California, 960.
The 17th Annual Power to Seniors Celebrity Soup Kitchen, sponsored by the Older Adult Policy Council, will take place Wednesday, November 7th from 4 p.m. to 7 p.m. The event will be held at a new location, the Reading Senior Citizens Hall at 2290 Benton Drive. Enjoy an evening of gourmet soups, music, and raffle prizes. Proceeds go to older adults who are unable to pay their power bills. Tickets are available at the door, $12 for adults and $6 for children ages 3 to 12. For more information, call 232-5543.
KCNR, Free Fire Radio.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio. The studio for KCNR 1460 with all about Trish Clark. Good morning, everybody. Hope you're having a great day. This portion of the show brought to you by Alliance Heating and Air. Been in business over 25 years. If you're looking for somebody that knows how to do HVAC, it's Alliance Heating and Air, a veteran-owned business that's been voted best in the North State, and there's a reason for it. They are. Give them a call at 221-2642 or check out their website at homecomfort.org, Alliance Heating and Air. It is 64 degrees, going up to 83 today, and it's about 8 minutes before the hour of 8 o'clock here on the 1st of November. We're here with the chief of the Northern Division of the California Highway Patrol, Scott Gillingwater, and the assistant chief, Craig Bartz, of course, and Trish Clark and I. And now, I just want to hit this before we go into something else. How many interactions do you have with the public, the California Highway Patrol, a year?
We have over 4 million enforcement contacts with the public.
How many acts of this 4 million were forwarded for investigation, you know, for, you know, shootings, you know, I'm sorry, what?
For excessive force.
Yeah, as part of that RIPA bill, we report to the Department of Justice. Over those 4 million, only 26 required to be sent to the Department of Justice. So it's very rare that force gets used when you, I mean, I don't know what the percentage is, but it's zero something.
I'd imagine it'd be 00 something or 000 something. Okay. I just wanted people also to understand that with these new laws coming out, if you look at what it's been in the past, and I imagine it's been like that. I can't imagine. Okay, yeah, well, this last year it was only 26, and the year before it was 8,420. I'm pretty sure it wasn't like that. So, you know, when you see these laws coming out that, again, are kind of like adding another layer, making it harder to do their jobs, it makes you wonder why this is. I mean, what special interest has that much power?
Yeah, and I will just say that, you know,
and that's not what you're saying.
Law enforcement needs the public support to be able to communicate with their assemblymen and their senators and express their concerns about this. When AB 931 was going through, if you asked Senator or Nielsen how many letters opposing this that he'd received in the public, it would have been zero. The public doesn't really know about it, but we need to let our legislators know that we want law enforcement protection, and we want them to be able to do their best job, and bills that are going to limit that are concerning to us, and it just can't be, you know, of one incident, you change it for everybody. It's going to have a dramatic effect.
And you made a really good point there, that there is not enough information out in the public about what bills are being considered, what the impact is. We are not very good as a population about following through, paying attention and protecting our law enforcement or anything else we care about until after the fact.
Yep.
Okay. Now we've got, I don't know, 5 minutes left. Some of the good things are happening. I mean, there's a lot of legislation, and I didn't mean to spend the whole hour on this, but it's just, to me, it's just remarkable what we're trying to do to it's not enhancing our law enforcement. So what are some of the things that are happening up here that are on the positive side? Which is, I mean, I'm sure there's many of those things that are going on.
Oh, definitely. All of our area offices, we have 17 area offices in Northern Division, and we handle the northern 14 counties. So what we've done as a management team is we've introduced what we call community outreach panels, where each commander in each area office gets together with members of the community from all walks of life and sits down and just has a really honest conversation about what's going on with in their communities, what would they like to see done by law enforcement. And that's proven to be very, very beneficial for our division, just because we're on the ground floor, boots on the ground, figuring out what's going on and getting that buy-in from the community.
Well, that's, you've got your own mini Citizens Advisory Board, and
right.
It started right here in the north with you, I believe.
Correct.
So.
Yeah, you know, we need to know what the community needs, and so the only way you can do that is to be able to have conversations with them. And as you get members from all over the county that we serve there, as you need to find out what those needs are and then be able to respond to those needs. So it's been extremely positive. Our relationship with the public is really good. I think it's the best it's been. And we need that because of, you know, all these bills and things. We need the support.
And those people that you're having that contact with, you need to, I'm sure you do, tell them, you know, they need to let their legislators know how they feel about the law enforcement and the things that are happening. We as a population need to take more responsibility in the things that are happening in the state of California.
I know one thing, that I wasn't invited to last year's reggae.
You know, we'll make sure that doesn't happen again.
I just want to mention that.
Okay.
I didn't get to go.
We'll get a nice hat for you.
I want to go down on the ground and try not to get, you know, get secondhand effects of all the ganja that's down there during the big festival on the river. It's beautiful, and the way they control it down there. That's why they wanted to show me about the highway patrol. Wanted to show me traffic control of this huge event because it's a 2-lane road, and thousands are there. It was remarkable.
That was during the car fire, I think. So we were all.
Oh, maybe that was
yeah,
it.
That was no, okay. Was.
All right. Maybe they canceled it at that time. All right. Okay, got it. Recruitment up here. And is recruitment still, how are we doing? And the Northern California area is always good for recruiting military, and I'm just wondering about for the law enforcement, too.
We have a full-time recruiter that works at Division, and he's been doing a great job reaching out to Shasta College or all the different groups that would demonstrate an interest in law enforcement. And once we have somebody that has expressed interest, we mentor them through the process, and we do physical training days where they come out and they run with a recruiter. And we have actually one on the coast as well that's doing that part-time. He also does background investigations. He's working with Humboldt State University. And so we've hit all these markets where we know that people may express an interest in law enforcement. We try to mentor them through the process.
I want to make a little plug right now. We have a strong need for dispatchers, and so if anybody is interested, get a hold of one of our dispatch centers or go online to our website, CHP Careers. We're looking for qualified individuals always, and that's one of the classes that's difficult for us to really pull in people. And it's part of our family, so just like to make a plug for that.
That's an important job, too, because the dispatcher's got to keep their cool when things are coming in, and they're going out to different people, right, and just passing it on.
What remind us of what the Northern Division is. What does that entail?
Well, it's the 14 north counties of California, starting from Mendocino and Lake over to Colusa, Glen, all the way to the Nevada border with Lassen and Sierra and Modoc up to the Oregon border and out to the coast up to Del Norte County. So basically the entire north part of the state.
Okay.
And so a dispatcher is what, different 24 hours a day, so you get different shifts, I assume.
That's correct. And we have 5 dispatch centers in the division, mm-hmm. so you don't have to just be here in Redding. We have dispatch centers in Ukiah, over in Humboldt, up in Yreka, in Susanville. So it's we have a wide variety that if you live in those areas.
It's a state job, health, dental, all those kind of things.
Yes.
Yes. Okay. All right. We've been here with the chief of the Northern Division, the California Highway Patrol, Scott Gillingwater, and the assistant chief, Greg Bartz. Really appreciate you coming in. I didn't mean to be speaking this almost this whole time about legislation, but oh my gosh, it's been a while since you've been on.
Well, and there is an election coming up, and there is this is a good opportunity to remind everybody that they need to get out and they need to vote, and you need to be in touch with the legislators. And after we elect them, let's not forget about them. Hold their feet to the fire and talk to them.
And we are going to be talking about this one about reasonable versus necessary in the future. So thank you very much, gentlemen, for being with us.
Thanks for having us.
We're going to take a quick break, and Audrey Denny, the Democrat candidate for District 1 Congress, will be joining us right after the break.
You're listening to KCNR Shasta Redding. Town Hall News is brought to you by Tobacco and Brew, 2143 Hilltop Drive.
With the greatest political movement in the history of our country. The greatest.
And the president holding out the possibility of sending up to 15,000 troops to the southern border contends that his strong stance on immigration is an asset to Republicans in the upcoming midterm elections.
The president says his focus on border security is a winning issue, and he claims the GOP is doing well with women voters because of it. And Mr. Trump says he favors legal immigration.
I want people to come into our country, but they have to come in legally, and they have to come through merit, a merit system.
As for the caravan of migrants traveling from Central America to the U.S., the president says they're not coming in. Greg Clagston, the White House.
Now that they have recovered the flight data recorder, divers in the waters off Indonesia are looking for the cockpit voice recorder, the Boeing jetliner that crashed into the sea earlier this week. There were no survivors in the crash. It claimed 189 lives. On Wall Street this morning, stocks higher yet again. Right now, the Dow is up about 191 points. The NASDAQ Composite Index ahead 59, and the S&P 500 Index currently up 19 points. More on these stories at townhall.com.
The following is a true story.
My name is David Bryant. When I was 37, my wife and I decided to get term life insurance through SelectQuote. Just 3 years later, I was diagnosed with ALS, also known as Lou Gehrig's disease. Because of life insurance, the people I love most in this world will be protected no matter what happens to me. I know that the dreams I have for my family can still come true. Financial security, to stay in the home we became a family in, and for our children to be able to go to college. I reached out to SelectQuote because I wanted to share my story. If just one person purchases life insurance, I know I will have made a difference.
SelectQuote can find a 37-year-old male a $500,000 policy for under a dollar a day.
If there are people you care about, you need life insurance. It may be the single most important financial decision of your life.
Don't put off protecting your family. Get your free quote now. Call 800-671-7070. That's 800-671-7070. 800-671-7070. Or go to SelectQuote.com. This is a paid endorsement. Get full details on the example policy at SelectQuote.com/commercials. Not available in all states.
More political turmoil in Sri Lanka.
Sri Lanka is caught between two prime ministers. Ranil Wickremesinghe was sacked from the position last week, but he says he still has the majority in parliament. His party has been demanding that the house be convened soon, and now the new prime minister, Mahinda Rajapaksa, has suggested that could happen at the start of next week. So far, the president has not confirmed the date. His decision to sack the prime minister has been questioned by many. The president insists it was constitutional, but Mr. Wickremesinghe says it wasn't. Both sides, though, agree that whoever wins a majority in parliament will have the right to be the prime minister.
That's the BBC's Agita Lamai. Palestinians in Gaza coping with a shortage now of car tires. Tires, a favored item by demonstrators, they set them on fire and toss them at Israeli troops on the other side of the border. Israel has halted tire imports to the Strip. News and analysis, townhall.com. Sandra Day O'Connor, the first woman to serve on the U.S. Supreme Court, could have been Sandra Day Rehnquist, a biographer has discovered.
Sandra Day and William Rehnquist, the future Chief Justice, went to Stanford Law School together. They were study partners and, for a while, steady dates. In fact, author Evan Thomas discovered in the course of writing her biography that he proposed to her. The line was in a letter written after Rehnquist had gone off to Washington. "To be specific, Sandy," he writes, "will you marry me this summer?" By then, though, she was already dating another student, John O'Connor. Thomas disclosed his discovery on NPR's Morning Edition. O'Connor's children say they knew their mom and Rehnquist had dated, but Jay O'Connor says they didn't know about the proposal. I'm Warren Levinson.
As General Motors reports a healthy $2.5 billion third-quarter profit, The Detroit automaker is ramping up its cost-cutting efforts, offering buyouts to 18,000 white-collar workers. More on these stories at townhall.com.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio. And now, Carl and Linda Bott. This is Free Fire Radio.
Good morning. Welcome back to Free Fire Radio here in the epicenter of change in Reading. KCNR 1460 with Carl Bott and Trish Clark. Good morning, everybody. It's 5.5 minutes after the hour of 8 o'clock here on the 1st of November, 2018. And the news is brought to you by Tobacco and Brew. 2143 Hilltop Drive, open 7 days a week. Trish, good morning. And what's it look like for weather today?
Well, it looks like it's 64 degrees, and we're looking for a high today of 83 and a low of 55. On Friday, sunny and a high of 82, low of 53. On Saturday, a sunny and high of 83, low of 56. Kind of a broken record. Sunday, mostly sunny and partly cloudy Sunday night, 52 degrees.
Where's all that
rain?
Right
back to sunny on Monday and a high of 78. We're not looking for any precipitation anytime in the future, which is unfortunate. We want a little bit slow and easy.
Every night.
And a little bit every night would be great. The weather is always brought to us by Shasta Gas Propane. Our customers are warm friends. They're locally owned and operated. They give veterans and senior discounts. Give them a call at 365-3793.
I understand there's going to be a wild and crazy time this weekend at the Anderson Senior Center.
Well, actually, at the breakfast on Sunday, we're going to have, again, our first Sunday of the month breakfast. We invite everybody down from 8 to 11. But on Friday night, the Anderson Grocery Outlet out in the Shasta Gateway is holding a wine tasting. They're going to have between 5 and 8 out there and lots of really good wine to taste. And everybody knows they have a great wine selection, which will be on sale, 20% off. So after you've tasted, you can go down to the grocery outlet and do that. And all the proceeds do benefit the Frontier Senior Center. So I invite you all down.
There you go. Hey, as you know, we have as many candidates for office rolling through our studios. In fact, almost everyone has. We're trying to get Dianne Feinstein, but she's so far been too busy. But we have Audrey Denny with us today. And thank you so much for joining us.
Oh, I'm thrilled to be up here with you. It's so nice to meet you, Carl and Trish. Happy to be on.
Well, you know, of course, Audrey is running for District 1 Congress and for the Democrat Party. So tell us who Audrey Denny is.
Yeah, you bet. So I live in Chico right now. I've been 16 years in Chico, but I grew up on a family farm on the central coast of California. We raised beef cattle. We had draft horses, and we grew wine grapes and hay to feed the horses and cattle. Turns out draft horses eat a lot of hay. I moved up to Chico to study agriculture education at Chico State. And right when I got there, I think on day one, I just fell in love with this part of the world. I love the town of Chico, but the more that I got to explore Northern California and this part of the world, I just love it up here. And this
is the best, very definitely the best part of the state.
The best part of the state. And the people who live here because we love it, right? And so this is really my home. I wound up teaching agriculture at Chico State for 6 years. I've worked internationally in Latin America and in West Africa. In the last 3 years, I've been an educational consultant who works primarily with agriculture companies and nonprofits. And then last Thanksgiving Day, actually, was the first day that I ever had any inclination that I was going to step out in public service in a different realm. And that's led me on this track now of being a politician.
What was it on Thanksgiving Day?
Well, I was driving with my sister, Robin. I've got two older sisters. They're both Episcopalian priests. Kind of weird. And my sister, Robin, said, hey, we passed the sign to Roseville. We were on the way up to Chico. And she's like, hey, I just read this article in the L.A. Times about these three women, all in their 30s, all from the Roseville area, all running for Congress for the first time. And isn't that inspiring? And right when she said that, my stomach kind of dropped in my gut a little bit. And all the hair stood up on my arm. And I said, Robin, am I running for Congress? And she's like, oh, my gosh, I think you are. And it's kind of a funny story, but in that moment, I felt this real deep, visceral call to step out in service. And my life had always had elements of service in it. I mean, even from my time in the 4-H and the FFA as a little kid and a high school student, I was thinking about leadership through the context of service, of how those that we put in positions of power should be using that power to help other people. So I always had this kind of theme of service running through my life, whether it be from childhood or community service as an adult. But this was really the first time I felt a call to step out into public service in this in this capacity. And here we find ourselves 5 days before a midterm election.
So what have you found? Okay, so you've because I've heard other people say describe it very much a similar thing. It was just like something caused it. My dad told me that that my mom wouldn't go to the stores because she was afraid for her own safety.
Mm-hmm.
And the candidate then, Aaron Reznor, who was running for city council, says right then, and it was at the dinner table. Right then, she said, "I knew I had to do something." So this what your story is not unusual. I don't think, you know, some people may think it is, but I don't, because there's that one thing.
It's that moment.
It's that moment that just says, you know what, I got to do it. I got to try it.
So I don't think a lot of us just all of a sudden say, "I think I'm going to be a politician."
Because Trish was
I've spent 20 years as an elected official. And it just happens. It's just all of a sudden you see. So what are the issues that you see that you think need to be addressed, perhaps in a different manner than they're being addressed?
Yeah. The biggest thing for me is when I go around to our rural communities, because most of my district is really rural, right?
Absolutely.
I live in Chico. We're here in Redding now. But besides Chico and Redding, we are made up of a bunch of small towns, right? And as I go out into the rural parts of our district, people are really struggling, right? People are struggling in Chico and struggling in Redding, but in the rural part of the district, man, are people struggling, right? They're living in and around forested areas, so they're terrified of these catastrophic wildfires, right? They don't have reliable access to cell service or to internet, right? They don't have rural broadband, so they can't be connected. Our schools are closing. Our hospitals are threatened, right? And people, everyday people, are struggling to make ends meet. And so when I travel around the district, I see that in all 11 of our counties, right? And I think that with these issues that we're facing, these are big and complex issues. We need a leader who will really take them on head first and work only for the people. And I hope to be that leader.
Okay. And what do you see coming from the federal government that are going to change those things that you could help bring to the North State?
Yeah, should we go issue by issue, or?
Well,
let's just when you say that schools are closing, what schools?
Like Newell. Have you ever been up to the Tule Lake area?
I have. Lake is just, right, I understand.
Decimated, right? Yeah. And so I was driving around with the president of the Modoc County Farm Bureau was showing me around the Tule Lake Basin and helping me understand the complex water dynamic that's been happening up there for the past 20 years, and he's drove me through Newell right outside Tule Lake and said, this is the elementary school that I went to, right? And it's been shut down, you know, and then.
So going back to what Trish said then is from the federal level, what would
Because a lot of the issues you talk about are impacted by state government.
Level,
absolutely.
State
the bulk of what you're doing, and that's a whole other ball of wax. But so we can only depend on our congressman, congressperson.
Yeah.
I use that. Yeah. Term generically, I'm not good with the political correctness of adding the whatever.
You can call me whatever you want.
Yeah, I struggled with that for years. I loved the term mayor because nobody could mess with that.
They
could councilwoman, councilman, all that. Yeah, no. So anyway, so federally, how can you impact those issues?
Yeah, you bet. So let's look at rural broadband as an example. Great place to start. So at the federal level, we need to decide that being connected is a right, right? Just like back in the day when with the Tennessee Valley Authority, we decided that everyone should have electricity, and that's something that people should have. So if at the federal level we decide, hey, everyone needs access to the internet, right, and to be future ready, everyone needs this, then we make it a priority. And so we allot federal grant funding to it through USDA. There's a rural broadband program through there already. But then we have to hold the telecom companies accountable for making it happen, right? That's really the key issue, because it's not cost effective for them for AT&T and for Comcast to provide rural broadband to all of our communities and every house in the communities. So we have to change the regulations to make sure that we can use the fiber optics that are already in the ground. And then we have to hold them accountable for making it happen. And that's where
Should the companies take a big loss on this to ensure broadband?
Yeah.
They should.
They should.
The companies should take a loss. A privately owned company should take a loss to provide a broadband coverage.
The company should be subsidized by the federal government to make sure that that happens.
So the federal government should subsidize it so they don't lose
every
money.
Single person. I think every single person in our rural communities has to be connected. When you go out to Eastern Sierra County and you go out to Loyalton, even in Western Sierra County, AT&T is not even installing any more landlines there, right, because it's not cost-effective for them to do that.
The state legislature passed legislation that stopped them from doing that. So
if you don't have a landline,
they don't have to anymore.
In Western Sierra County, and you can't get cell service, and you don't have access to the internet out there. If something bad happens, if there's an emergency, you literally have to run into town and run to the pizza parlor where there's a landline to make a call out. And this is 2018, and I look around at our beautiful state, and we're the fifth largest economy, right? And I see people in Sierra County who don't have access to a landline.
Is this something that the feds, is this something the feds should do, or is this a state thing?
I think it's something that the federal government should do, because 30% of our rural households across the country don't have access to reliable rural broadband.
Okay.
Right? That's a huge, huge issue for all of middle America.
I think that I could get on board on that one.
That's certainly an issue, and I'm not exactly clear who needs to solve it. But I think it has to be a priority, because I certainly know what you're talking about.
Okay.
It's safety, it's health care, it's education.
It's a number of things. It's it's like Brian Daly taking his fellow assembly people up here and showing you had to drive 50 miles to pick up a prescription. And you know, because we're talking about gas tax, which we'll talk about that, too. We're here with Audrey Denny, who is the Democratic candidate for Congress, 1st District. And we've appreciate her being here with us today. We're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, Ruth, you're first up. And this portion of the show brought to you by Cornerstone Community Bank. Head on down to Cornerstone Community Bank. It's run by your neighbors, your friends. See how they are moving local dreams forward. Cornerstone Community Bank. We'll be right back after these messages. 83, it's 58 degrees, going up to 83 today.
Hard-working person, and he listens to his people.
David Kehoe is one of the most honest public servants that I have ever seen.
As a third-generation U.S. Army veteran, I support Supervisor David Kehoe for re-election because of his unfailing support of our veterans.
The best quality about Dave is that he is so approachable.
You just couldn't ask for a better supervisor than him.
I'm David Kehoe, candidate for Supervisor, District 1. I'm firmly committed to a safer community by increasing jail beds and supporting law enforcement. As your supervisor, I have a record of voting for jobs and economic development to help increase revenue for public safety. I will always strive to improve the safety and quality of life for the people of Shasta County. I welcome your support and vote.
Paid for by Kehoe for Shasta County Supervisor 2018.
A full-service spa is our most amazing amenity at Wind River Resort and Casino that will cleanse away your stress and renew you. Step inside and begin a relaxing journey that will soothe the mind and awaken the spirit at Wind River Spa. Indulge in our beautiful spa overlooking the calming waters of Clear Creek. Let us help you unwind your mind, body, and soul with catered and customized treatments. Our spa is modern, serene, and clean here at Wind River Spa. Our exceptional menu of treatments allows you to select services that will calm the mind, body, and soul. Spend an hour or spend a day with us, offering massage, facials, nail care, and waxing, featuring farmhouse fresh products for skincare and body treatments. We're the only spa in Reading that has a steam sauna for both men and women. Book your appointment today at 530-245-9494. Download the Wind River app. Gift certificates available for purchase. Relaxation is better at the river.
For over 45 years, the Original Clyde's TV is the place people turn to for locally owned, name brand recognition and offering home delivery service. You know that you're getting the best quality with Clyde's TV. Clyde's has it all, from home stereo systems to 150-inch televisions. We are an authorized Dish Network provider. Not only will you be getting competitive prices on your home electronics, but Clyde's knowledgeable staff will install your home entertainment system to your specifications.
I'm Clyde, and I have been serving in North State for over 45 years. I'm an authorized Klipsch, Yamaha, Sony, Samsung, and LG dealer. We offer setup and even haul away your old electronics free of charge. If you're looking for that hard-to-find video audio accessory, we have it. We offer discounts to military personnel. Come see us at Clyde's Enterprises, located at 1250 Hartnell Avenue here in Reading.
Joe's Web Geeks are the geeks your business has been looking for. Now businesses in Shasta County have a resource to make online advertising easy. With our Jumpstart service, you can get a website with pages built to be found in search, a Facebook page, listings in over 25 directories, and a lot more for $8.99. Let Joe's Web Geeks help you so that you can get back to doing what you do best. Visit joeswebgeeks.com or call 515-9851.
KCNR, Free Fire Radio.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio here in the studios at KCNR 1460 with Carl Bott and Trish Clark. 64 degrees going up to 83 today. Weather report brought to you by Shasta Gas Propane. Four Winds Jewelry is bringing us this segment. 2225 Hilltop Drive, the only full-service jewelry store in town. Only Watch Repairman works there. Open Monday through Friday, 9:30 to 4. It's for Linda. Spends her happy time. Four Winds Jewelry.
I was there yesterday. Lady can't have too many guns or too many diamonds.
We'll be getting into that one, too. We're here with Audrey Denny, who is running for Congressional District 1 as a Democrat. And we've got people. We have a bunch of questions and a number of other things and people on the line. So let's start with, and good morning.
Good morning.
Audrey. Thank you for being here. I know you had it's a long drive this early in the morning, but I'm glad you were here.
Thrilled to be here.
Ruth, do you have a question for Audrey?
Hey, good morning, Carl and Trish.
Good morning, Ruth.
Do me a favor and give Linda a hug for me. It's been a while.
Okay,
hey,
I will.
My question for Audrey is, I want to make two statements. First, you're aware, but I was a victim of car fire, lost my home on July 26th. The first comment I want to make to Audrey is that, number one, it wasn't due to climate change. It was an unfortunate accident, actually. So I wanted to kind of let you know where the community and those who have lost their home understand that this wasn't a climate change issue and probably more government regulations as far as having paid the tax fee and that sort of thing that caused the fire to do the types of things that it did and eventually take my home along with 1,100 other people's home. And in my particular area, Old Shasta, 500 and some odd homes were lost, so more than half in that particular area. But they still don't have AT&T internet up there, and a lot of them don't have phones. So the fiber optic cable coming to, you know, Reading, and maybe that'll all be better. But for right now, people up there don't have phones, and that's AT&T is a whole nother issue. But secondly, my second comment was about your outreach to us. Frankly, I haven't seen it. You may be spending a lot of time in Red Bluff, Chico, whatever, but I haven't really seen the outreach from you, and you might have some response to that. Maybe I just haven't been in the areas that you've been, haven't seen you, but that's just my opinion. But my point is that we, for all of the people who lost their homes, the vision for our county is really important to me right now. The incentives to bring people back to build their homes. Right now, the county hasn't completed their part in certifying my place so that I can rebuild, but the overwhelming feeling that I'm getting, and Carl, maybe you have a better pulse on this because you talk to lots of people, but a lot of people are leaving the state and because of the politics. And I just want to get your ideas, Audrey, on how, you know, representing Shasta County, and I'm only interested at this point in my little county because there are so many people wanting to leave and they have no real reason or incentives to be here, not emotionally, not physically, not materially. And I know that we're in the process of recovery and moving on, but I'd like to see, and I've had outreach from Doug LaMalfa's office, actually. In fact, they worked on an issue for me, and in a matter of weeks, it took an act of Congress, but his office came through, his staff was unbelievably responsive, and
you want to know what her plans are for that kind of action here?
Yeah, I just want to see a voice for us in this area and how to bring back our community and stay Shasta strong. So mm-hmm. I'll let you answer the question.
Okay, thanks, Ruth.
Well, Ruth, I want to start by saying I'm so sorry about you, your loss this summer and the loss of your house. I know that Shasta as a county is really still trying to recover and trying to recover from the trauma of what happened. So I just want to say that. And in terms of representing Shasta County, I will strive. I want to represent all 11 of the amazing counties that cover District 1. My Redding office has been staffed by a full-time staffer since earlier this spring in April. And so I'm sorry that we haven't knocked on your door yet. I know we're out knocking on a lot of doors. I think we did 2,000 in Redding last Saturday.
Yeah, she doesn't have a door.
You don't have a door. That's why we didn't knock on it. But I'm sorry that you haven't felt the outreach yet from our campaign. But what I'm hearing from your concerns is something that I'm hearing around all 11 counties, and it's how do we make our communities places where we want to live, but more importantly, where our kids want to live and where our kids want to come back and raise their kids. And these are complicated issues, right? That community building is a really, really complicated issue that I won't alone be able to solve, but I can help streamline federal policies. I can help invest in the types of things that make communities strong, good health care systems, good education systems, making sure that there are good jobs for our kids to have. Those are all issues that I'll be able to help on at a federal level. But most importantly, I think it's just what you said. I'm so thrilled that you've had a great interaction with the congressman's staff, and I hope if I'm given the honor to serve that you'll have an equally great interactions with my staff and my team. My plan is to have a really district-focused staff, to have three offices around the district where we're fielding constituent concerns and working actively with local elected officials and state elected officials on the complex and interconnected problems that we have. So, Ruth, I hope I get to serve you, and I hope I get to work with you in the future.
Okay. Audrey, we got a lot of questions coming into the chat room. People lined up, but we talked about rural broadband and kind of esoteric. There are questions facing our country that's going to be yes or no answers or questions. What is your stance on immigration? The President Trump has talked about the wall. We have caravans of thousands of people heading for our borders. California is a sanctuary state. Do you agree with that?
That was three questions I'm going to break it down a little bit.
Okay, well, let's start with the first one.
Let's talk about all these issues.
Or a border that people can't get across.
We absolutely, absolutely need a secure border. Secure borders make countries. But I think when we start talking about immigration, we really need to look at who's crossing the southern border. And who's crossing the southern border today is different than it was 15, 17 years ago, according to the demographics. 15, 17 years ago, we were seeing single men from Mexico crossing the border looking for economic opportunity. And now what we're seeing crossing the border is unaccompanied children, it's women, family, complete family units, and they're fleeing some of the most violent countries in the world. The Northern Triangle of Central America, El Salvador, where I lived and worked for a year, Guatemala and Honduras are three of the most violent nations in the world. So we're seeing people fleeing their home countries because of all of this violence. And so I think as a federal representative, a big part of my job will be ensuring, working with the administration to make sure we have a fully funded and fully staffed State Department that's working with the governments of those countries to help them find better ways of protecting their citizens so we don't see a bunch of people fleeing their homes, right? These people don't want to come live in America, but they don't have any other choice because their lives are literally threatened. And so there is a lot of things that we can do at a system-wide level when we think broader about how to address some of these root causes of this immigration.
Okay, that's number one. Number two is we have thousands of these immigrants on this, not immigrants, thousands of travelers, voyagers.
Mm-hmm.
On
asylum seekers.
Not all of them. I've seen many of them saying they're coming here because they can't find work in their home countries.
And they're waving the flag
that
from
is
their own
not,
country.
That to me is not asylum. That means they just can't get a job. I'm sorry about that. But what do you know, when they get to the border, these thousands of people, what would you do?
I would make sure that we had judges and lawyers staffed up there to see which one of them had asylum claims and which one of them didn't.
Would you allow them across the border?
That's part of the process, right, is they come, they go through the due process, they go into an immigration court, and then we see whether or not they've earned an asylum claim.
But you realize that right now that we are so overrun that they take them, they turn them loose, and they're supposed to show up for court, and the vast majority have never come back.
Where'd that statistic come from?
I can pull that up. But
let's dig into that. I'd love to.
Okay,
love to...
you're saying is that they all do show up for court then?
I'm not saying that they all show up for court. In
Would
any
you say
system,
50% of them show up for court?
I think we need to dig up that statistic. Let's do some evidence-based policymaking here.
Look that up for me, will you, Bob? See how many people show up when they turn them loose, how many people show up for court afterwards? Okay, and then the third one, the third question about sanctuary. Do you believe that California and other should be a sanctuary state?
You know, California's laws are in complete disarray with federal immigration laws. It's a complete disaster. I don't have my role wouldn't be impacting California's sanctuary law.
I know, but I'm asking what you as an individual. Do you think that California should be a sanctuary state? There should be sanctuary, you know, like Redding and Chico should be sanctuary cities.
I want to see an immigration system at the federal level that's in line with an immigration system in California's level, so we don't have places where there are so there's no need for it. Is what
okay,
I like
okay. So
to
which
see.
One do you think needs change? The state or the county or the federal?
Everything needs to be changed. It needs to be changed to be brought into alignment at the state level and the federal level. And a comprehensive bipartisan immigration reform at the federal level can make that happen. We've been trying to make this happen since George W. Bush was president, and we've gotten to this point where we've let immigration become the heart of the polarization that we're seeing in our country. And so on every single issue, I try to bring it back to what's the shared common value here in the middle. Right. And why we have to look at why is this issue so polarizing? I want to look at, because I'm talking to my farmers in Butte County, even up in Siskiyou County, and they're saying, hey, we can't get the labor that we need. We can't get the ag labor that we need to get our crops harvested. Right. There's an Amon farmer in Butte County that has to have 9 folks on staff year round, even though he only needs 4 year round, but he needs 14 at harvest time and he can't get them. So he hires 9 people year round to do that. Our system is so broken, and it's going to take Republicans, it's going to take Democrats, it's going to take everybody coming together and saying, how can we make this make sense?
We're going to take a break at this point, and Nick, you'll be up right after the break. This portion of the show brought to you by Home Helpers, whether it's 2 hours a day or 24 hours a day, if it's long-term or short-term. Give Sharon Clark a call at 226-8350 or check out ReddingHomeHelpers.com. She's going to work with you to make sure that your loved ones are taken care of no matter what the circumstances are. Remember that there's no place like home. We'll be right back after these messages with Audrey Denny, candidate for the Democratic side for the Congressional District 1.
His family has lived, worked, and farmed in our part of California for 4 generations. He's our Congressman, Doug LaMalfa. Doug understands what's important, and he works against the status quo to get results, like fighting to get aid and relief for the families of the recent fires, and for sound forest management that will prevent fires in the future, protecting Medicare so it will always be there, defending our water rights and building new storage, working for our veterans so they get the health care and benefits they deserve. And Doug LaMalfa knows that too many families are struggling with the high cost of living. That's why he's leading the repeal of the new gas taxes from Sacramento. Most of all, Doug is working for us to make government work better again. That's leadership with results. Congressman Doug LaMalfa. Results, not politics.
I'm Doug LaMalfa. I approve this message.
Paid for and authorized by the Doug LaMalfa Committee.
Hi, I'm Chuck Kinney, owner of Shasta Gas Propane. There's a joke around our company that our propane is better than other companies' propane. The fact is that most propane sold in the North State is manufactured in the same refineries in the Bay Area, so there's really no difference. However, there can be a big difference between propane companies. When you call Shasta Gas, you will be greeted by a friendly, knowledgeable customer service representative that will answer your questions or concerns and even give you an approximate time that your delivery will be there if you need to know. If you want, you can also talk to the owner, me. There may also be a big difference in prices between companies. Our motto at Shasta Gas is our customers are warm friends. So for safety, service, and savings, and to experience this difference, give us a call at 365-3793. That's 365-3793.
Are you struggling financially? Swallowed up in debt? Are you looking to buy a house but are not sure of your credit standing?
What does that credit score even mean?
Why are there three different bureaus?
What score is most important?
Looking for a local expert?
Give me, Joe Rodola, a call. Your credit affects everything from borrowing money to landing that perfect job. With over 40 years of providing financial services, I am committed to helping you achieve your goal. I can provide you with full credit report and in-depth review for only $25. Let me provide you with the tools you need to improve your credit standing and your financial freedom. Give me a call today, Joe Rodola, 941-3021, or on the web at jrdebtconsulting.com. Your local choice in credit repair.
Slow down. Hi, this is Dr. Trudy Pratt. My chiropractic and nutrition practice in downtown Reading has been helping people feel better for over 20 years. We pride ourselves in really listening to our patients and then tailoring a program of nutrition, chiropractic care, massage and exercise that's just right for you. The results can be dramatic. Call 244-7873. That's 244-7873. Thank you.
The hotline is open on KCNR 1460, 530-605-4567.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio in the studios of KCNR 1460. This portion of the show brought to you by Cypress Square Barbershop right off Athens Avenue. Veteran-owned business gives discounts for seniors and veterans. Man's last stronghold there at Cypress Square Barbershop. We're here with Audrey Denny, who is running for Congress. From the Democrat Party, and is holding her own pretty good here. And we are looking it up. How many people show up after they've been released? And the numbers are rising every year, but they're not the majority right now. They show up, but those numbers keep rising. And Brian just said something about how many are for asylum and how many just were looking for work.
Yeah, and when asylum seekers go to court, they tend to – there's a higher rate for them coming back
to
court.
As opposed to people just showing up.
Also, Carl, can I say I've been called more a Democrat in the last 20 minutes than I have the entire campaign.
Well, it's because you're a Democrat.
And
you're running for office.
It cracks me up, though, because I was a Republican, a registered Republican for 10 years.
Okay, hold on.
I've been a Democrat since 2012.
If you've been running as a Republican, I said running as a Republican.
Yeah.
I do. Okay.
No, it just cracks me up because we've been running this campaign we're really trying to. We don't talk about party labels a lot on my campaign because the Democratic Party hasn't really they haven't given us any money or anything, and we're trying to run a campaign that's really focused on the people of this district. And I think there's a lot of people. So I'm 34, and I think there's a lot of people in my generation that are ready to move past party labels. I think that's why we see so many no party preference voters of the millennial generation.
And that's what you should have put down.
Yeah.
Because as long as you're running as a Democrat,
I don't
think that's fair to the people. Because I see these ads from people. I don't know what party they are.
Yeah.
But if you tell me you're a Republican, if you tell me a Democrat, that means that there's a certain mindset on both sides.
Yeah.
And no preference tells me, okay, they can go either way,
uh-huh.
Which is fine with me, too. Maybe we need a lot more of that.
Mm-hmm.
But I think
we do need a lot more NPP.
But to me, if you're a Democrat, that means that you will be supporting the tenets, maybe not all
mm-hmm.
of them, but the main tenets of the Democratic Party. Is that correct?
Yeah, we need to break them down one at a time.
That's right.
Yeah.
And I understand mm-hmm. that, and I think that you're a very truthful, articulate person here that just says, I'm not going to agree with this one, and I'll fight that one. Mm-hmm. But I'm just saying, you know, when you say that, it helps people
get a frame, kind of a general frame of reference.
Absolutely agree. If this was mm-hmm. all being run as a nonpartisan, like mm-hmm. city council, and mm-hmm. we wouldn't even mention it. I never ask anybody what their parties are.
Yeah, just teasing you, Carl. Okay, well, gotta have a little fun.
No, I am.
Thursday morning.
It's Thursday morning.
Thursday morning.
I know. I'm like you. Yeah. Okay, wait till tomorrow.
Yeah.
We've got a bunch of people lined up here, so let's start with Nick.
Hi, Nick.
Good morning, Audrey. Hey, I'm proud to say that I'm an independent. I don't need a party telling me how to vote. And I would like to ask you, if you are lucky enough to represent us in the North State, when you get to the Democrats win the House, if they win the House, will you vote for Nancy Pelosi as Speaker?
You know, we gotta wait and see who's running. It's got to be somebody who will understand our rural point of view. And support us up here. I will, if I am lucky enough to serve you, I will cast my vote for the person who is best suited to serve us up here. Right before we went to one of the breaks, Carl was talking about Brian Dolly bringing up 100 legislators from Sacramento up here to look around. And Brian's somebody that I really, really admire as a leader, and I hope to emulate the type of leader that he is, and because I really see him as a bridge builder. I see him as bringing people from different sides together to work on things. But most importantly, I see him as an educator and an advocate for our part of the world.
If I may be so bold as to interrupt, Nancy Pelosi has said that they will oppose everything President Trump puts up there. And then how about Maxine Waters going to be head of the Financial Committee as a Democrat? And if you guys get into power, are you going to support her?
I'm going to be a freshman rep. I don't think I'll have any call on that.
Well, you know, it's very refreshing that we have a president. I saw this on the internet with my own eyes. He wants to put tent cities on the border for these caravans coming up to process them there. And he said that 80% of the people that apply for asylum are turned down and they can go home from there. The reason he wanted tent cities was so we wouldn't spend so much on the infrastructure as, you know, what would cost us to build buildings. It would save us billions. So how do you feel about anchor babies and the Chinese flying in birth tourists to have their baby here in the United States and then fly back and they've got citizenship? Would you be for that or opposed to that?
Okay.
What are your feelings on anchor babies?
Okay, Nick, thanks. We got other people lined up. Thank you for your questions. Essentially, what Trump has said in the last couple of days is, why do we have the 14th Amendment? Why should people here illegally, when they have a child, that child automatically becomes an American citizen? What's your thoughts on that?
In March, when I signed my Declaration of Candidacy paperwork, I pledged an oath to support and protect the Constitution of the United States of America and the Constitution of the State of California. And the way that I read the 14th Amendment is that when children are born here, they are citizens of this country.
Even if their parents are here illegally.
That's the way that I read the 14th
Even
Amendment.
Even if they're here as Nick's talking about, there are, you know, I mean, you've heard of these, right, that people have flown in. You've never heard of this?
This was anchor baby. That was the first time I heard the word anchor baby. But that is my interpretation of the 14th Amendment.
You never heard the
Amendment.
Term anchor baby
I
before?
Haven't. Have you?
Okay.
Yeah.
So you're saying is whether you're here illegally or illegally, as soon as you have the child is an American citizen. So you are against changing the 14th.
I'm saying
or
that
another
I,
way of looking at it.
I swore an oath to support and protect the Constitution, and that's the way that I read the 14th
Amendment.
Well,
good. I am glad you said that. So that means that the Second Amendment, you will support and defend that, which means that I can own semi-automatic rifles with high-capacity magazines if I want them.
So I'm a gun owner. I'm a gun owner myself. I grew up on a family farm. I grew up in a family that safely and responsibly used firearms. And so this is an issue that that's really important to me, too. And I, on all of these thorny issues, I like to try to find that shared common ground, right? And I think that as people in the North State who really do value our right to bear arms, right? It's really important culturally to both Republicans and Democrats up here. I think that sending a Democrat to Washington, D.C. to help pass legislation to keep our kids safer in school, I think it's a good thing to send a gun owner back there. So,
okay, the question is, do I have the right under the Second Amendment of the Constitution, which you swore to appeal and defend, do I have the right to have a semi-automatic rifle with a high-capacity magazine? Do I have the right for that?
Yes, you do.
Will you support any type of legislation to take my right away?
Will I support any type of legislation to take your right to own your semi-automatic weapon away?
That's right.
No.
So if they bring up that they want to vote to do away with semi-automatic, quote, assault rifles, you know they're not, you will not support that then?
Yeah, so the thing with the assault weapons ban is it's really tricky on exactly what they're classifying, right? And so I will work with gun owners in the North State. I'll work with sports enthusiast groups to make sure that their voice is heard at the table, right, and to make sure that their needs are met. I'll also work with moms groups and parents groups to make sure that we're getting common sense legislation.
What is common sense? I guess what is common sense legislation?
Yeah, I'm so glad you brought that up. Universal background checks, truly universal background checks, right? This is where we have to start. Closing the gun show loophole, right?
But wait a minute, background checks, the last three or four incidents, these people have bought their firearms legally. So what good would that do?
Well, it's the place to start, right? It's the place we have to start. In California, check this out. In California, between 1996 and 2016, gun violence death rates dropped by over 50%, by 56%. And the rest of the country during that time frame, they dropped by 16%. Yet, in the last couple years, we've still, in California, had record-setting gun sales years. We're not selling less guns. We're doing a better job keeping guns in the hands of people who should have them, right?
Well, let's go back to the original question that you said as supporting the Constitution of the United States, that all the amendments, the First Amendment, the Second Amendment, all these. My question was that you would never support anything that would take a gun out of a legal, lawful citizen. You would never vote to take anything out of their hands. That includes the, quote, assault rifle.
So
That's a yes or no.
You got to dig into all of these issues are complex and nuanced, right? And we got to dig in.
No, it's not. It's very simple. It's just like you just said. The 14th Amendment says this. And I go along with that.
You were the one who just said they're having a hard time defining exactly what an assault rifle is, right?
So you said that. I don't have a problem with that. An assault rifle is something the military has. You can't buy an assault rifle unless you have a special license, which means that you can buy automatic weapons.
Yeah.
A semi-automatic weapon is just that.
Yeah.
So that's the point I'm getting. This is what gets people excited about the whole question is. When you start nuancing, that means it's another right taken away. And that's what I'm saying. You know, universal background check, and I had a background check. That's fine.
Yeah.
But I'm also a 30-year veteran of the Marine Corps. I can't think of a reason why I can't own a semi-automatic weapon and a high-capacity magazine that I keep locked up in my safe unless I want to shoot it. Well, the state of California has taken that right away from me. I cannot have a high-capacity magazine. I can't have a magazine that holds more than 10 rounds. So that's what I'm getting at. Mm-hmm. When you start taking away one right, you take away all the rights. And not you personally, okay? I know you grew up on a farm, and I do believe what you're saying. But I know what your party is saying.
Well, on issues like this, I think I'm a net benefit for people in the North State, because I think having a Democrat who represents them, who understands guns and who can talk to other Democrats about guns, I think that'll wind up being a net benefit for people up here. And I hope to be a voice for bringing people back to the middle, bringing people to a place of understanding around these issues instead of running into our partisan corners. And so I that's the type of leader I hope to be for you.
Okay. You know, let's just move on from that one, because that was a good question. I mean, that was a good answer. This is really a contentious one up here in the Northern California area. Is immigration. Well, let's talk about what's something you're interested in besides, okay, the rural broadband. Okay. Yeah, let's go to Lori. Lori, what's your question?
Good morning. Thank you, Carl.
Hi, Lori.
Audrey, I did hear you a couple times at the library doing some forums early on when Gregory Chaitel and so forth. There was a full group of people, and now it's, I'm just not a party person like Nick. We're being invaded, in my opinion. There are awful, evil people amongst this quote-unquote caravan. I just wanted to ask you, one, how do you get your news and information that's not fake news? What do you see is happening to the Democratic Party based on the Brett Kavanaugh ghastly hearings as far as the party being more socialistic, progressive, and so forth, that it's nothing of the JFK days? And if there's time, could you address with the marijuana issue, because the feds and the states don't match in a line at that point either, and I'll listen off air.
Thanks, Lori. So there were several questions there.
Yeah, which one do you want me to tackle first?
Okay, why don't we do the one about the Kavanaugh hearings? What did you, just your opinion, what did you think of that?
I thought that Justice Kavanaugh in the hearings displayed a temperament that wasn't suited to be a Supreme Court justice. I think he displayed partisanship and anger in a way that I didn't think was fitting of a justice. That's my personal opinion.
Okay. Did you, the fact that what was done to Justice Kavanaugh, starting with Dianne Feinstein, holding quote, evidence for 60 days and not bringing it up, do you think that was right?
Yeah, that one kind of threw me for a loop, too. I definitely respect Dr. Ford not wanting to come forward, but when she did decide to come forward, that information should have, from a personal opinion, I think that should have come ahead straight away.
Okay. So it should give them at least a chance to for people to look at it.
Yeah, I would have loved to see a really thorough, complete FBI investigation that was...
Yeah,
I think
I already know what the answer is to this, but what do you think about these incidents where people are going up to Republicans and whoever they are, and at lunch and at dinner and confronting them?
Oh, I think it's horrible. I you know, this happened to me actually last night. I was at a Halloween concert after I was handing out candy to kids on Treat Street in downtown Chico last night, and then I went to a Halloween concert and a stranger walked up to me and started yelling at me. And so it was the first time that it happened to me in public, and it was quite interesting. But for me, it's just a sign of how broken and partisan our system is right now. And we're feeling it in this part of the world. We're feeling it across the country, but we're also feeling it in our families. I talk to so many people who say, you know, I can't talk to politics or talk about politics with even my family members anymore.
No, we've gotten to that point.
And that's hard.
Not we, my family. Oh, yeah, it is my cousin.
For me, it's heartbreaking. And I want to be part of a new generation of leadership. One of the things she mentioned was the leadership of the Democratic Party. And yeah. I want to be a leader who helps us find our way back to the middle, helps us find our way to our shared common American values that we all have. I want to help get us there. But to do that, we have to be able to respect each other. We have to be able to respect each other's worth and their dignity and their value as a person. We have to be able to look at people who think differently than us and say, hey, your opinion and your experience is equal to mine in worth, and we're equally valid. And then we have to be able to ask each other questions and suspend our judgment long enough to really hear the other person's perspective, right? And when we can do that...
And not hate each other at the end
yeah.
of it. Not seek to destroy the other person because you don't agree.
Absolutely.
And I'm seeing that from both sides. I see it a lot in the Democrats, but there's Republicans' skirts are not clean here. One other question they had was about the marijuana. You support the marijuana to make it a national event?
I really, really believe in local control and states deciding how they roll that out and counties deciding how they roll that out.
Same thing for Planned Parenthood or abortion. Should that be a state or a federal law?
Well, that's our right for full family planning is the settled law of the land since Roe v. Wade, and I really support efforts to decrease the number of unwanted pregnancies. We've actually made significant strides in that since Roe v. Wade. I support continuing to do that, and then I definitely do support a woman's full access to all of her family planning.
Third trimester?
Man, the women that have...
I'm speaking this from a guy. I don't
yeah,
go through this.
The women...
The third trimester of when a child can live on its own.
Women that have... that terminate pregnancies at that late in the game are almost always medical in nature, and it's almost always to save the mother's life. And so really it's going back into...
Shouldn't that be then a doctor thing instead of a just because you want to have... To get
well,
rid of the child?
It is a doctor thing, right? It is a doctor thing. And that...
But if you support third trimester abortions, then there's a caveat on it that says it's only got to be to save the mother's life. Is that what you're saying?
I'm saying that that's what happens now. Yeah.
Okay, last question before I open it up to you. State of Jefferson. You support the state of Jefferson?
I understand the root causes of that. I understand the feeling behind that. Because the feeling is we've been forgotten up here and we've been left behind and we have inadequate representation. And those are all things that I believe. I believe that California is stronger together. I believe there's a lot that we need to do to fix the injustices and the inequality that we're seeing in California that's leading people to want to become their own state up here. But I do believe that California is stronger together.
Okay, and before I go to the phone, you have been telling we can spend a little bit extra time here, by the way, if we have to.
I would love to spend all day with you, Carl.
Okay,
let's keep talking all day.
One of the things is that we own the station, so I can just go past you if we have to in case there's another question. But somebody asked here is you've been hitting Lamoff about his donors.
Mm-hmm.
Who are your donors? Do you have major donors? I know what you said about him, and we're going to ask about that one tomorrow. He's on tomorrow.
Awesome.
But what about you?
More than 70% of my donations come from people who live inside of California's 1st District, which is something I'm incredibly proud of. Because when I decided to run for Congress, people said, you can't raise money in your part of the world. People up there, A, they don't care about politics, and B, they don't have any money. And we showed them wrong. So more than 70% come from people in this district, and it's everyone from people who've generously given me a $2,700 donation, which is the maximum, to people who are sacrificing and giving me $5 paychecks with their Social Security checks. There's a man walked into our volunteer office earlier this week, and he didn't have two pennies to rub together, but he sold his vintage Air Jordans. So he could donate $325 to my campaign. And that's the kind of sacrifice that we're seeing that's so humbling.
Do you have any big donors? Is George Soros writing you checks for
George
a million?
George Soros is not. So the maximum that an individual can donate is $2,700. So my mom.
What about PACs?
PACs can donate up to $10,000.
Do you have any PACs coming in?
So I've got some money from the Democratic Central Committee of Shasta County gave me some money, and so that'll show up as a PAC.
Okay.
So PACs, for those of you listening, are political action committees. And so if it's not an individual giving a campaign money, it's coming from a political action committee. And there are three different types of PACs. There's ideological PACs, so that's people like the Nevada County or the Shasta County Central Committees. There's labor union PACs, so California Teachers Association, the National Nurses Union, groups like that. And then there's corporate PACs. And so corporate PACs is the money that I've refused not to take that is funding. That's where the congressman gets a lot of his money. And so
you're not taking corporate, but the union PAC. You're taking the unions.
About 3% of my donations. 2.6% of my donations have come from PACs in the form of.
And you've raised over $1 million.
Yeah,
right?
We're almost at $1.1 million.
People are wrong about the North State and those two things.
Yeah.
One, we do care about politics. And two, there's still money out there.
Yeah.
For people to fight.
And people put their money when they believe in something. Yeah.
Okay.
And people believe in what we're doing.
Are you sure you can stay a little bit longer?
Of course.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, then I'm going to go to the phones. Terry, do you have a question for Audrey
Denny? I do, Carl. In fact, I have a couple of quick ones, but I'd like to get them both out.
Hey,
first
Terry.
One is, Audrey, this is just
nice
yes or no.
You.
You said you took an oath to the California Constitution. Did you read it?
Yes.
Okay, then you read it, then you probably have one particular article that stands out in your mind, and you've talked about immigration. Do you know what Article 3, Section 1 in the California Constitution says? Probably should have been the most important one for you.
Refresh my memory. Article 10 is my favorite.
Oh, no, Article 3, Section 1. Article 3, Section 1 states that the state of California recognizes the United States Constitution as the supreme law of the land, and therefore is an inseparable part of the United States. That means that immigration under Article 1, Section 8, Clause 3, that naturalization is what? It's the jurisdiction of the federal government. California has no room in it, number one. And I want to just get a quick answer on that one and how you can hold that position if you read the Constitution of California and if you understand that that is a fact. And then I have one more quick question.
I'm unclear of the question.
The question is,
I'm
is
running
that
for,
if,
for federal office.
Right, but
the question is, how can you make a statement after taking a pledge to two constitutions that totally say that the jurisdiction of immigration and naturalization is that of the federal government and try to make an argument for a sanctuary state? How can you do that?
Oh, I did you hear me try to make an argument for a sanctuary state?
Yes, because you said it had to be California agreeing with the federal government. No, they don't have jurisdiction.